independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
2-2 again, and a swing and a liner into center, a base hit. Correa around third on his way home. He will score. Around a third on the play is Gurriel. Jason Castro with an RBI single, and the Astros have taken the lead here in the top of the ninth. 1-2, swing and a miss, and it is over. Presley strikes out Bogarts. That'll end it as the Houston Astros explode in the ninth inning for 7 runs and may have saved their season in the process. They have evened up this series at 2 wins apiece.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Woo! Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and we are here for that Game 4 win. What an inning. What a game. What a job by Christian Javier and Kendall Graveman and the bullpen that actually did was just amazing last night.
It's been amazing. Yeah. Well, not so much Game 3.
Yeah, no.
A lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Actually, now I think that 3 wasn't so good.
No, Game 3 was a two.
They held him in place. They stuck at 9.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, well, after Odorizzi's...
Yeah, Odorizzi came out of the pen.
I don't care. You know, it's his 40-minute warm-up and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. But he still came out of the
pen. But regular bullpen did pretty good. Yesterday was just brilliant by the pen. Just brilliant, except when they were nibble, and then Javier came in and said, look, we got to start challenging some guys. Even he nibbled some. But once they stopped nibbling and stopped just giving walks... You know, at the end of the day, I told you before the show, I'm sitting there looking at it after Altuve's home run. It's 2-2, and they bring up the, you know, they bring up the line score, and yeah. I'm like, 2 runs, 8 hits, and the Red Sox have 2 runs on 3 hits, and this is entering the top of the ninth.
Yeah, but the Red Sox had more base runners.
because it's been, yeah, Laz Diaz was bad.
Well, but they were just nibbling.
But they were nibbling. That was the problem. Laz was bad. But the Astros pitchers have got to quit being so terrified. When they stop being terrified of the bats and getting behind the count, and look, that team has good plate discipline. You're going 3-2 damn near every count yesterday. Damn near every count was 3-2, and they're going to foul it off and all that stuff. But when you started having guys make pitches, Maton striking people out, Graveman striking people out, Javier striking people out, Brooks Raley striking people, it was like, hey, not every pitch is going to fly over a wall. What do you know? We can actually make pitches that they miss, and we can stop being babies around the strike zone. I mean, Greinke was so terrified. He was throwing pitches that weren't even remotely close, not even close. And yet the Astros pulled that out of their hat. I likened it yesterday in the middle of the game, John, to being in the we got to the eighth, and I felt like, you know what? This is stealable. This, you know what this is? This is in basketball, football. You say, just get it to the fourth quarter, you know, and when you're on the road and you're an underdog, get it to the fourth quarter and just keep it close and try to steal one in the fourth quarter. In boxing, it's called stealing the last 10 seconds of the round to where the judges give you the round. And that's all the Astros did. They kept it close until the very end, and they stole the game the last 2 innings.
Big ups to that bullpen. Big ups to Christian Javier and
Jason Castro.
Jason Castro coming in. And listen, I love, you know, Maldonado maybe, and they love Maldonado. And he gave the speech after Game 3 to get the guys, you know, going. As a matter of fact, McCormick talked about that. We'll hear some sound from that later. But Jason Castro coming in and getting hits the way he's been doing it this year. Jason Castro has been an unbelievable pinch hitter late in games. And for him to come in there late in games against Eovaldi and get the game-winning hit is just unbelievable, especially where his career was, and for them to pick him up and for him to sit for most of the season and watch Maldonado catch
but learn to pinch
85% of the games.
But learn to pinch hit in the process.
Yes.
Became a good pinch hitter, which Never in a million years. If you had told me at the beginning of the years, at the beginning of the year, you would have said, like the first month of the season, you would have said, you know, at some point you're going to be really happy that Zach Greinke is out of a game and Brooks Raley is in a game. I'd say, what world does this exist where I'm happy that Brooks Raley's coming in for Zach Greinke? Well, it's the same world that you're going to be very happy that Jason Castro is in the game as a pinch hitter, even though he didn't get his hit as a pinch hitter, because Jason Castro became a pinch hitter this year.
Yeah.
Hit over 300 pitch hitting.
Yeah, and in some of the biggest clutch situations.
Any chance he gets a start today? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's always Machete. No, but they may go to him quicker.
Fromber needs Machete.
Oh, no, yeah. That's the 1-2 that they have to be together. Yeah. Yeah. However.
Well, late in the game, it'll be.
I think they're going to be more ready to flip catchers late in the game.
Well,
even though they have no Garrett Stubbs, I think they're going to be more ready to do
that. That's the recipe right now, is that if it's a late game situation, you can't have Maldonado up. And it seems like he's up every single early in the game. It seems like, oh, bases loaded. Oh, good, it's Machete. Oh, God, the second and third. Oh, good, it's Machete is up. It just seems like every single time. I thought Dusty managed a great game. For him to piecemeal this with that staff, you know, that it probably was. And listen, this was Astros under for most of the game, which is exactly the opposite what you would have thought. It ended up Astros over because of that ninth inning. But if you were to tell me that this was going to be a 2-2 game in the ninth inning with all of the runs that were scored. But in the way that and Greinke is starting game is starting this game, and you don't have your bullpen is taxed, and nobody wants to throw a strike at these guys. And that it was 2-2 in the ninth inning. What an unbelievable game! Big ups to Dusty. I know he's got a lot of detractors, but you know it's funny. We'll hear. We're going to hear from Todd Callis a little bit later in the show, talking about whether or not Dusty will be back. So we'll do that. But Dusty on the win. What a game. What a game for this team. And he's just not worried. Number 14, he's just not worried. I know the bullpen is taxed. Tough toenails. Get back out there.
Well, not really. I mean, you know, we had a fresh Javier. That helped a lot. You know, and then the other guys. And we had a fresh Graveman. The other guys have been pitching a lot, especially our left-handers, both our left-handers and also Stanek. And so that was good to give Stanek a day off today. So we have a relatively fresh Stanek, relatively fresh, Presley. And so hopefully we can call on them late in the game and Framber can take us, you know, deep in the game.
You know, when it got to, I know he warmed up, so you put him in there. But when it got to 9-2, it was like, do we really have to have Presley in there?
I think he needed to throw.
And it's okay because you got work today.
He went longer than you wanted, though. Too many pitches.
Way too many pitches. But you also got tomorrow off, which is nice. He might have to work today. Hopefully he has to work today. It would be nice if Presley's in the game. That means that it's
hopefully
a game.
Hopefully he doesn't have to, and it's 9-2 again, and you're like, let's just close with somebody else.
Maton did the job.
Maton did all of them did their job. Brooks Raley did the job.
Yeah.
Brooks has been doing it lately. It was – now, the starter didn't. This is now three starters in a row who haven't gotten through the second. That's a problem. Now, they've been given a little help by their fielding. First, it was Altuve on a really, really – I didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but that was a really – the top spin on that one just gobbled him up. There was no excuse on Bregman. Bregman's error that would have had Greinke out of the inning cost him so much. I mean, Zach just, you know, the Astros just cannot make those errors. The pitching is not good enough, especially the starters. They're not good enough for you to throw another 10 to 15 to 20 pitches on them in a single inning. And who knows, countless runs. Like, you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
Yeah, Bregman's throw was it was uncalled for. Quite
frankly. It was uncalled for, but the home run wasn't uncalled for.
No, the home run was.
Bregman likes hitting home runs there. Altuve, F. Altuve was the chant in the stands. They had to. Did you notice that they had to take the field mic off a couple of times? One was they were chanting BS about a Laz Diaz call in like the sixth inning, and another one or fifth, and another one was Altuve was up. And just a generic F. Altuve, you know, because the Astros are such cheaters. It's official. Boston believes the Astros are just such unbelievable cheaters.
Yeah. Did was there an F. Cora chant?
No. F. Altuve.
Wait a minute. The orchestrator of it all?
Yeah, no.
The one who. But
no, it's Apple Watches.
But
all
it's
that stuff.
Apple. But it's Altuve.
It's F. Altuve. Altuve, you know, is the face of this. Altuve is the guy who cheated the most, apparently, even though he cheated the least. But. They F. Altuve'd, and that's fine. That's fine. That at bat, he didn't hit the home run, but the next one, he did.
Yeah.
Next one, he tied the game up.
It's so nice when he does
stuff. So keep F-ing Altuve if you want to.
It is so nice when he does stuff. It is so great.
And his stepping on the plate, did you notice how slow and unused? Did you catch that, Aaron?
That was deliberate.
It was like, it was a very slow approach to the plate. It was 1 foot, 2 foot, and then it was point with one finger up to the sky. And just point to the other finger up to the sky, like he really slowed down the home run at the very end on the Red Sox.
Here's him talking about Altuve talking about the homer.
You know, obviously, we needed to tie the game right there. I'm pretty happy that I could score with a homer right there, and then what we did in the ninth inning was amazing. Michael, Jason, with a really good at bat. It's not easy. Coming from the bench and get two really good at bat the way he did, and just happy that we won today.
So you weren't here yesterday. You were just you went bike riding or something with your wife. I don't know what you were doing, but we talked about
definitely wasn't that.
Well, we talked about being more aggressive at the plate.
Yeah,
one guy was like, "Why are they taking all these pitches?" And he's he said something. It was kind of funny, but anyway. Here's the problem. When you're way down and you swing at the first pitch and it's a four-pitch inning, it seems like you're out on the field forever. So you want to work the pitcher little bit when you're down 9-0. But did you see Altuve? First pitch of the game. Swing. First pitch. Home run. Boom.
Now that was I don't love the concept of let's just do that. I think it's player by player. Approach by approach. I think for Altuve, he's a guy sometimes that needs it.
Well, he said afterwards, he didn't change anything.
Not really. I was just, it's really hard to change approach for me during the game. I had what I had, and, I took it to the last two at bat, and, thanks God I did pretty good in the last two at bat, and, we ended up winning the game.
Well, the change approach thing, John, is the number one reason, one of the reasons that he was one of the ones who cheated the absolute least, the banging, because he doesn't want to know. He's got an approach at the plate, and he doesn't like changing. He doesn't want to know anything. He doesn't want to hear it. He's got his own little thing that he does, and that's what he talked about. He doesn't like changing. Yeah. His whatever comes, he's a reactive player. Carlos is a thinker. Jose's a reactor. That's why he's more likely to swing at some bad sliders off the plate where Correa and Bregman, guys like that, really know the strike zone exceptionally well. Not Laz Diaz. Well, no one knows that strike zone.
No,
that strike zone is that thing's all over the place. Yeah. Well, there's no lines. It's squiggly lines all around. The Red Sox. Just so you know, in case you haven't seen any Red Sox Twitter, this whole thing, the Astros did not beat the Red Sox.
No.
Laz Diaz beat the
Laz
Red Sox.
Diaz won.
They don't believe that they gave up seven runs.
We're going to talk about that on the other side. And Laz Diaz, who now goes down in lore as the greatest umpire in Major League Baseball history. So we'll do that on the other side right here.
I thought he did a hell of a job.
But right now we're going to talk about the official beer of Strike 3 Not Called. We're going to talk about the official beer of barbecuing today, grilling today, and watching Game 5. It will be the official beer. Trust me on this one. And it's Coors Light. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is my beer of choice. It's the official beer of just about everything I do. It's the official beer of putting for birdies and making a bogey. But that's okay, because I still got my cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. And, whether it's a rainy day, it's the official beer of rainy days, and it's the official beer of a beautiful, sunny day where you're out playing golf. because on a rainy day, you're playing poker. So it is the official beer of everything you do. If you're looking for a great way to have your, make it your official beer. Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You can see every time with the Blue Mountains. You want the official beer of everything you do? It's Coors Light.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, time to talk about Allstate Siding and Windows. And I love this time when I get to tell you about this because I use their product. It's fantastic. It looks great. Energy, you know, if something's energy efficient, you shouldn't know it until bills start coming in or how you feel in your home. When the weather is at its most extreme here in Houston, really cold, really hot, that's when those double pane, double strength windows and the siding that they put together, that it's really going to show up for you. Having windows that are retrofit into your space, because the windows, you know, the space for the windows, it will move over time because of the shifting soil that we have here. And so you need to have windows that are measured and cut specifically for your home. And when that's the case and they're retrofit and installed properly, you're going to see a huge difference in terms of less dust in your home, less leakage of air in or out. It will help your energy bill. It will make things quieter at your home if you live at a place where there's a lot of traffic. And they're built to withstand 130-mile-per-hour winds, and there are other windows that are built to withstand full-on hurricane-streaked windows. So go to AllstateSidingAndWindows.com and get your free consultation today. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So after the game, Reggie Jackson saw Carlos Correa, or I think maybe came down to see Carlos Correa, and he gave him his Mr. October hat.
No way.
Way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And actually, Carlos was, I don't know if he was wearing it. Do you got video of it? No. I don't know if he was wearing it or what, but I got the text that it happened last night. But Carlos apparently told everybody, here's what he said about Reggie Jackson giving him Mr. October hat.
Double excited today. We had that great game, and then when I went back to the locker, Reggie Jackson gave me one of his hats that he's been wearing around. And to me, that was such a great honor, man. Ray Jackson, such a legend of the game. Just giving me that hat that says October on the side, Mr. October on the side, that was special to me. So I'm really excited about that one, too.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And he is, boy, you want to talk about a clutch hit coming up against Eovaldi. And what did you think?
Where's Reggie right now? Who does he work for?
Reggie doesn't, I don't think he works.
I think he works for the Astros.
Oh yeah,
they brought
him
in mid-season.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Reggie's. That's right. Reggie does stuff here. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Why do I always see Reggie? That's right. He's with the Astros. Yeah. And that was the weird thing is when the Astros played the Yankees. That's right. I remember when the Astros played the Yankees. Reggie's like in the mid-season when Altuve had the big home run in the comeback game. There's Reggie doing stuff with Astros, and the Yankees wanted to cry. By the way, a lot of people noticed the same thing I did. Two things about Joe Buck, and I'm not one of these Joe Buck haters that just goes crazy, but two things were very apparent. Every fly ball was the farthest home run ever, even when there were flyouts to left field, and he was making you crap your pants every time. And there's a fly! And a deal! And it's going to settle in! And he caught it, like, literally 12 feet in front of the monster. Why are you scaring me like that? Number one.
And there's a deep drive. Yeah. Way back.
It's carrying. Yeah, Correa. Well, unfortunately, this
is
high.
It is deep. And, look, Verdugo's underneath it.
And then this is the one that everyone, when the Astros are scoring, the amount of sadness in the booth between Smoltz and Buck, you could hear it. There was no excitement. It was just Smoltz was sad. Buck was sad.
I
like,
don't think
they were so
sad.
Well, then why did their voices sound sad?
Why do you think they care?
You know why? Because I don't think they like. I think Smoltz in particular is a baseball purist who is a pitcher.
Oh, so they don't like those cheaters? They like those cheaters more than the other cheaters?
I think for Smoltz, it's probably he's an unwritten rule guy. You don't do this.
Well, what do you mean? Unwritten rule? You don't steal it. They're both cheaters. They both did it.
No,
they're both cheaters.
But for Smoltz, one of them got caught.
Okay.
No, I mean, that's the truth. I think there's – look, Jeff Passan is never going – he will never forgive the Astros. Jeff Passan legitimately hates the Astros. That's a fact. And that's not anything – that's not even personal. That is a fact. I don't think Smoltz and some old school guys, especially pitchers who know that they would be, you know, hey, you can steal our signs if you want, but don't do it that way. That's not the way the game's meant. I'll guarantee you that's the way Smoltz thinks. He's very professional on the broadcast, I think. And at one point I was like, can Smoltz come manage us instead of Dusty? Because Smoltz seems to know what the f- is going on here. Dusty doesn't. So I was really.
Dusty had a great game yesterday.
Dusty was fine. Dusty was fine.
No, Dusty was
great.
Hey,
does Strom start catching anything? We give Strom all the love ever about everything. Does Strom.
What do you want? You want to make chicken salad out of this? Is that what you want?
No. I'm asking. But people have been asking this over the last.
Chicken bleep. Around the pen.
Not with the starters.
And you want them to make chicken salad for you.
Not with the starters.
What starters? Greinke and Urquidy and...
Yeah, guys that get paid also to do jobs, yeah.
Okay.
Do your jobs.
What you want him to throw the pitches to? He's 90 years old.
Make your approach. You know what? Your approach needs to be... And that's... Is Strom a part of the reason that they've been nibbling so much? Like, tell him, hey, guys, at some point you got to challenge him a little
bit. Greinke's fastball is 1 mile faster than his changeup. Okay, what do you want from him?
I mean, Stinky has fallen completely off Kyrie's flat earth. He has just fallen into the universe. He's so terrible right now. Granted, they got a decent inning.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing.
Oh.
Mr. Control, he's either nibbling, which I think he's nibbling. But at some point, like Smoltz said, hey, guys, you got to throw it in there, and if they hit a solo home run, it's a run. It's not the end of the game. Quit putting traffic on Astros. You really can't put traffic on it.
It's not like they don't talk. Dusty said it after last game. He's like, the walks are killing us. And what do they do in the first three? And he's like, 5 walks. It's like, what the hell?
Guys, stop. Are you not listening? Stop.
Maybe they're not listening. They're just scared to put it over
they're scared.
The plate.
I think a lot of the pitchers were very scared.
You know what? Put it right over the plate for Bogarts. Guess what happened? Boom.
Yeah, I think a lot of pitchers were very scared. And finally, Javier, like, I'm not scared. I'm going to, you know, and he tried to throw some wipeout sliders to JD Martinez to strike him out. He's just not going for him. Like, they got hitters with plate discipline. It's not a surprise. Alex Cora is a guy who, you know, came from the Astros. It was like the Astros were playing the Astros. Early in that game, I thought, God, this is the Astros. They get 3-2 on every count. Mm-hmm. They foul everything off. They make it a nightmare for you. They extend your pitchers. And if you make mistakes, they kill you with it. And it's like the Astros were playing the Astros, and the Astros were playing like the Twins. Like, why can we stop being Twins and be Astros and maybe make them be Red Sox and not Astros?
Well,
and that's what they did.
I thought Javier and Maton, and you want to talk about the stretch of Javier,
hey, Brooks,
Maton,
Brooks Raley too.
Brooks Raley, Javier, Maton, and then Graveman. Holy crap. That was unbelievably good. Okay, so ninth inning, Castro's at the plate, and I know he was out, so none of the 7 runs count. So, sorry. They just don't count. But it's interesting, you know, he and Jose Altuve were together here for 100 loss seasons. And for him to come back, here's Jose Altuve on Castro. How great is it that Castro came up with the big hit when he had to go through all of that crap with these horrible teams with Jose Altuve? Here's Altuve on Castro coming back.
No, it feels good, you know. And, you know, I know he left and came back, but, you know, it seems to me like he's always been an Astro. He likes to be here. He loved the team, and, you know, I'm happy to play with him, and I'm happy he's doing really good like he's doing.
That's the kind of hit that Astros fans will start to really love. Like,
yeah.
That's the kind of Chris Burke moment where you always remember somebody fondly.
Well, what is there? There's no bigger. I mean, how can Jason Castro, anything in his career? Okay, so when he goes into the Hall of Fame, does he wear the Astros cap?
Yeah.
Or the Twins cap?
Astros.
Yeah.
He goes in an Astro.
Yeah.
He goes in an Astro.
Yeah.
Former first-round pick of the Astros.
But honestly, I mean, Jason Castro, just like Charlie Morton, we remember, you know, we remember all the curveballs by McCullers. This is a moment that Jason Castro will never, ever, probably can't ever top.
Especially if they move on. And Jason's had some big, he's had some big hits now this year. He's done a nice job when he's had his opportunities. But this one was huge because you're facing their best pitcher, and the crowd is so hyped. They're going, what an amazing crowd they were yesterday. Just on their feet with the first pitch. So loud. And my
buddy
McCool.
Did you like the ball they moved?
I didn't. I thought it was. I understood it because you want to take the 2-1 lead. But
and he's got to throw.
My feeling was, yeah, I think they wanted to wipe out one inning move and then win it in the bottom of the ninth, and that they thought that they would just move on like that. Now, when you look at it and how many pitches he had to throw, and now he's got to come back. He's off today. He's got the day of rest off. But then he's pitching on 2 days rest with, maybe that's not the end of the world.
No, he would have to throw after the game anyway.
I think it's interesting. But I tell you what, John, that whole at bat for him, he never looked like he lost confidence. He had some good foul balls. He was hacking now. He did not look like a guy who didn't have confidence. And what a great hit by him. And Brantley, who has been terrible this series.
Oh, my gosh.
He's either I've never seen Michael Brantley strike out this much in my entire life. It used to be you didn't get swing and miss from Brantley. You're getting it all the time.
But then he
had two good, solid pull ground outs into their deep shift where he hit the ball hard into the shift, which would have been base hits, you know, back in 2013.
Yep.
I was like, huh, you know what? He's making some good contact right now. That's a good sign. Absolutely. And then that base knock, maybe Brantley's rolling again. Maybe he gets rolling.
720-80, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Sarah Barshop is going to join us here. We're going to talk a little Texans football. Who doesn't want to talk Texans football today? Oh, it's at 8:30, not 7:30. I'm sorry. So that's an hour. I was just previewing an hour from now, Aaron. Okay, not next. What next? By next, I mean an hour from now. That's what I meant by next. So 713-780-3776. Let's keep talking Astros baseball. We can hold off Texans talk as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, can we hold off Camp Casario? There is actually news. The pizzas, the Papa John pizzas may not taste as sweet for some of you. No. And we'll tell you why when we come back. You know what? We'll do that. The Papa John's family is mourning the loss of a Texan. We'll tell you about that when we come back.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday.
Oh, was it yesterday? You got whacked already?
It was.
I was sick.
You don't remember now.
I had
we
Tyler
can let you
sick.
Give some thoughts. John had his thoughts.
I thought it was, yeah. Well, it was sensational. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Anyway, I'm talking about Doc Linville and I'm talking about my hair. I didn't get any, I forget. No, Holly was talking about my skin. I don't know why, but she didn't even mention my hair, which is a little embarrassing for her. So if you're on the Twitch, you can see, and I'm giving it my flip, my Fabio flip. You know, I got to keep it out of my eye. I got to, you know, it's before it was just like, oh, wow, there's some holes up there. That's just awful. That's just looks terrible. Looks like mange. Okay, so I had that. Doc Linville says, I can fix that. That ain't no problem whatsoever. My process is awesome. It's neo-grafting. It's not cutting and cutting out of your head and the bleed, the blood, all. It's just not that horrible. Actually, it's an easy process. And by the way, 4 hours in the chair, you know, and well, if you got a bigger job, it'll take longer. But here's the deal. You're looking for the best way to get hair and to have hair. The process is wonderful. You'll love it. And you're going to love the results more than anything. So if you're looking for hair, okay, you're sick of being bald, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Get some great dealer cash back deals going on right now. At my friends, you can just go to LanceZCars.com. That's how you see all the vehicles have available. They're in Angleton. Big family atmosphere. They take care. They don't want just your one car. They want your second, your third, your fourth car. They want to sell you all those because they want to make it very easy for you. They will deliver the vehicles if they need to into Houston for you. They just make it such an easy situation for you from the deals that they offer you, from the sales, which are, you know, the sales staff is really trained to just let you handle they're there to answer your questions, but you really handle the car buying experience and the pace at which you shop or you actively buy. They have deals going on right now. 2021 Sierra 1500 crew cab, four-wheel drive. They got a $2,000 purchase allowance going on for you right now. So if you're a pickup truck person, that's your vehicle that you need to be checking out. 2021 Buick Enclave has a $3,750 purchase allowance. These are just a couple of the things that you can find right on the website at LanceZCars.com. Get your vehicle, Buick, Chevy, GMC, crossover, sedan, pickup truck, or SUV at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
the Houston Astros face off with the Boston Red Sox in Game 5 of the ALCS. First pitch is today at 4:08. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Whitney Mercilus is the personification of the poor, poor decision-making that they did and how they destroyed this organization. That was just a piece of yesterday.
And that was they meaning
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien.
Jack, no. Extending. And Jack Easterby.
Yeah. And extending because he's a good guy.
And that was what the rant was about, is how Jack Easterby is still in this organization.
Oh, yeah.
When he was part and parcel of every decision that was being made.
Everything that got done, Jack Easterby was a big part of it. But yeah. Easterby knows how to play the game. And Easterby got Bill out of here. He survived. And he survived and moved on in a tournament. I mean, that's why he's in the Final Four, because he survived early stage upset and was able to move on in the tournament. He got Nick Caserio a 6-year deal and a wink and a nod, like, hey, we're on the same team now, right? You're going to roll with me? And Nick's like, yeah, you got me this sweet deal. You negotiated me a deal that's well beyond anything that could have been expected. So, yeah, you're on the team. So, yeah, Jack's in. You can forget. The preacher's here. As one executive said, I think Nick Caserio is going to be pretty good. You can keep the preacher. I don't want the preacher. I don't want to keep the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get my money back. As a matter of fact, I don't even want my money back on the preacher. I'll just take the loss and throw that shirt in the trash.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, we can't blame him for giving up a draft pick for Ryan Finley.
No.
Anthony Miller, a fifth rounder. That you cut.
Nick Caserio believes. Yeah, Nick Caserio believes that draft picks are once you hit fifth round, they're meaningless. I couldn't disagree more. Like, Anthony Miller. We tried. He's gone. Andre Roberts signed him as a free agent. He's gone. Ryan Finley couldn't even get to camp.
Yeah.
Like, he was cut after OTAs.
Does he know that?
That was a flip flop, by the way.
Does he know that Richard Sherman was a fifth rounder or that Cam Chancellor was a fifth
yeah,
rounder?
Yeah, I would assume he should know that.
Yeah,
he might want to take a look at a couple of the players who became players with the New England Patriots and recognize you don't just throw picks away. What he did for Ryan Finley, just so we have it out there, he traded a sixth rounder but got a seventh rounder. So he really just gave up a few draft spots for Finley. But still, it's just you threw those away. You packaged 5 picks to move up to make 2 picks. Wallow and
that's working out.
Wallow and Nico Collins were the moves that you made there to make that happen. So
did he give up like 6 picks for Brevin Jordan? Because is he alive still? Is this another
Brevin could still pay off. He's not ready to block like an NFL tight end. They're not playing him.
Is this going to be our Kahale Waring?
I don't think so. But I also was not a huge fan. I thought he got drafted where he should have been. Like, I wasn't a huge fan. Kahale Waring is he's a more talented athlete and football player. Kahale just has a hard time learning, frankly. And it was an issue with him coming out. I asked Bill O'Brien about one time, did you guys hear that at all? He had some learning issues? No. And so somebody asked him one time, how's Kahale in how's he coming along? He's learning great, learning fast. Like, Bill got all that became his thing. And guess what? Kahale couldn't get on the field because he had those issues. And
capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
What? Oh, T. Team. Oh, that was
I thought
Bill
you said
spelling.
Capital P.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Peem? What does peem mean? That sounds like something you call your wing wang as a kid. Why don't you suck this peem?
Whoa,
third grader. Stop.
Whoa.
Stop, Red Sox fan. You see Red Sox fans in the stands? They are one guy's like, whoa. He's like holding a Sam Cassell. You know, he's holding his junk. He's like after a home run. It was game 3. You know, those fans.
Well, I was surprised. There were a lot of Astros fans there last night.
I know. I don't.
And I thought, like that kid that was waving the towel. I thought, there will be bloodshed. There will be blood. Yeah. That kid was standing up in front of people waving his orange towel.
I was scared for him.
Okay, before we get on and get back to the Astros, did you see the plane crash yesterday?
Yeah, nobody died.
Well, it didn't even get off the ground.
It did?
So this happened. My buddy texts and says, that plane was bound for Boston. I was like, really? Yeah. because I got him the tickets. 18 tickets he got the guy. The guy calls him up. It's Alan Kent. It's his plane. And he knows my buddy who's at the game, and he goes, hey, can you get me 18 tickets? He said, yeah, I'll get you 18 tickets. No problem. He calls him up, and he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to use the tickets. And he goes, why? What happened? He said, well, my plane crashed.
Did you see the remnants of it?
Yeah.
It's like the plane exploded into a million pieces. I think what happened was it caught on fire, and it basically burned the whole thing out. If you saw it, you would have thought it's the worst crash in the history of aviation.
Yeah, right.
Did you see it?
It never got off the ground.
Did you see what it looked like?
Yeah.
How did it end up looking like that if it never got off the ground?
Because it hit a fence, and I don't know if everybody got off before it started burning or while it was burning. Everybody got off, but everybody got off. A couple minor injuries.
So it never got up in the air?
Never got in the air.
Oh, man, because I was thinking, how did anyone survive this?
Yeah, no,
it looked terrible.
Yeah, no. Everybody got off. Everybody was fine. But my buddy, he goes, yeah, my plane crashed. He goes, get up. What are you talking? He said, no, my plane crashed. And sure enough, he wasn't able to use. So other buddies decided, hey, fly up and let's grab those tickets.
Are you serious?
Grab those tickets. Hey, really?
Oh, being an opportunist.
You got some extra tickets? All right, I'm on my way. That was just amazing. Amazing that those guys, those people all survived. It was a plane headed for Boston to go to the game and just didn't get off the runway. Yeah. I guess he turned like a regular commercial plane into a private jet, into a private plane.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was older or what. I don't know. I don't know all the details of it, but it didn't get in the air. That's for sure.
That's good because the way
that's a bad plane.
The way it looked, it was really, really bad. This guy says, my wife went to take a shower when it was 2-1. When she came to sit back down, it was 7-2. She got mad because I asked her to take another shower. She didn't understand superstition. Well, this is a true story. Last night when I went to bed, my plan was, okay, I'm waking up and I'm setting up everything here at the house and I'm going to do the broadcast. I'm going to do the broadcast from the house because I'm not going to do it from the station until the Astros lose because I'm a team player and I want the Astros to win. And if it means me broadcasting at the house, doing a show, that's fine.
Yeah, but you didn't do the show yesterday, so it's not the same thing.
Well, but I thought I'm at the house, so maybe this is during the show I'm at the house, so maybe I can do the show from the house. Yeah. If they lose, all right, I'll admit, it's on me today if they lose. It's not going to be on the starting pitching. It's not going to be on...
No,
I'm taking the show yesterday.
So what's the difference where you do the show from?
No, but I was at the house.
So what?
I was at the house.
Were you at the house when they won games one? When they won game one?
No,
you were in the studio.
When they won, where was I?
It was Friday, last Friday. You were here.
No, I was at my brother's football game.
You were here for the show.
Did we do it? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But that was at Houston.
I wasn't.
No.
You know what? I should have never come back.
You shouldn't have come. No, exactly. But I wasn't. But that was at home. There's a different superstition at home. On the road. If they lose, it's on me today. I'm just telling you. I should not have come in.
We're going to have to rethink this because while they won game one, I was on the golf course during the show. So I need to be on the golf course during the show, every show.
You could be today because it's a 3 o'clock start.
Yeah.
So you could be out on the golf course.
No. I'm going to Pete's. I'm going to pick up some burgers.
That's the way to do it.
We're making the great burgers today.
That's what we're doing.
Any fan out there who did whatever they did yesterday,
for the
sacrificing,
traveling.
Like my sister's office, they did a whole Jobu monument in their office for the Astros bets. They have to do it again today.
I don't know who it is.
My wife was just the exact same thing.
My wife cooked. Yeah. My father-in-law came into town, and my wife cooked and everything. She was in the kitchen while it all happened. She was like, okay, I can't leave the kitchen. I can't leave the kitchen. So she's watching the game from the kitchen. My wife was. I said, that's where you belong, woman.
Is that what you said?
That's right.
And then you go, I'm just, JK, JK.
No, you belong.
JK.
You belong back at Channel 13.
JK, JK, JK.
No, I don't.
FRFR, JK, JK.
I don't JK with my wife. I say, get back in there, woman, or you get a fresh
you
one.
You did not say, get back in there, you'll get a fresh one.
That's right.
She told you that.
No.
Go make my sugo trick. Yeah, ma'am.
It's 743 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Is the number. Yeah, KJ says the plane was 34 years old. It was like a World War II bomber, I think. And so, yeah, it was a little different. The plane crash is a good sign for the... No, it's not. Okay, let's not take this superstition thing too far. we're not going to have another plane crash today just so the Astros will win. Okay? Let's not do that. So let's not do that. 713-780-3776. What about a little TGS?
Well, so text the word money to 232323. If you were going to call all these homeowners insurance companies by yourself to try to get the best rate, and you should be shopping every year. Car insurance, homeowners insurance. You really need to be shopping to see what the best rate you can get is. But it would take you a while. It would take you a while. It would take you a while to get through all these different A-rated companies. Even if you did five A-rated companies, it's going to – the time that you spend on the phone is going to eat up you know, probably a good hour is what it would take you. I've gone through the process myself. It takes a little bit to go through all the questions. With TGS Insurance, you text the word money to 232323, and what they got an algorithm where they put your address in, and all these A-rated insurance companies that they aggregate are all giving the most competitive rates they can to you, and they take the very best ones and offer it to you. That's why it should not be a surprise that $900 is the average annual savings from TGS Insurance. Put more of your money back in your pocket and shop your homeowner's insurance with a company that can do it within 15 seconds with A-rated companies. Text the word money to 232323. It's TGSinsurance.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
All right. I want to talk about MyBookie right now, because if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. And listen, I've been telling you, if you've never been on before, if you're on right now, if you used to be on, whatever the case may be, if you deposit $1,000 or less, you could deposit $200 and they'll double that. They'll double any deposit up to $1,000 right now. So you want to win. And no bookie does this. No bookie will say, yeah, let me give you a twice as much as you're betting. What? Really? Yeah. So that's just what they do. I've cashed in. I've loved it. You're going to love it too. If you have never seen this website, go to it. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's easy to navigate. It's simple. The number of things that you can bet on is really amazing. I mean, entertainment, politics, religion. You can bet on everything. It's amazing. All you got to do is go to MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, yeah. Michael says stop on by. All of you people out there, listen. Go to Pete's before the game and barbecue at the house and enjoy. This is the way to enjoy Game 5.
Well, if you can be at your house.
Yeah.
Game 5 is going to be, it's afternoon game in case you didn't know.
First pitch, 308, right here.
Yep. You can hear it on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Instead of watching it, just listen.
Or grill in the middle of the game when you get home from work and catch the last inning. Was the innings when the Astros bullpen is doing their thing. Mm. I've never doubted this bullpen this year.
Mm-hmm.
This bullpen has been, for me, the strength of the team much of the year.
No.
I've always trusted Stanek and Brooksy, as I call them.
I trust Stanek right now. I don't mind Stanek coming in.
Do you trust Brooksy?
I do now.
I do now, too.
Yeah.
I don't Javier, mind. I'm like, where's Javier? I've been waiting for Javier to come in all year long. This is the guy that I love.
I know. It's a shame. I didn't think he'd make it.
He's got balls. Like, yeah. He's out there dealing right now, and his stuff looks good. You know what? What a difference. Did you notice that Verdugo couldn't catch up with his fastball? He was at 95, 96. After Greinke, it's got to be like, Greinke is like right now going to the batting cage at the place where, like that Zumo or whatever it was on 59, where you ride go-karts, you do putt-putt, and then you have a batting cage, and it's boom, and it just, you see the little, you know, there's an arc in the ball as it's coming up. That's what it's like watching Greinke pitch. And when you have somebody throwing 95, it's like coming 106 then.
Sorry, I stand corrected. 408 first pitch, not 308. I thought when they were announcing
it. I thought that was Eastern.
I thought so too, but the actual ESPN app, which updates to what time zone you're in, says to me 408.
You sure?
I thought it said Eastern on I thought FS1 it said it last thing night. Yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was 408 Eastern too, but okay.
According to our schedule here? From Tyler, it was supposed to be, it's a 3:30 pregame. So
see if Tyler's lying to us.
Oh,
that's right. That's what Fox. I forgot about that. Fox Sports 1 does that. They tell you the game starts an hour in advance. That's right. They did that last time too. They did say that.
Yeah, for their pregame.
Red Sox Astros, 3:07 start time, or 4:07 start time Eastern. Like, oh, okay, the game starts at 3:07. No. That's their trick to make you watch. So former White Sox and former Red Sox players can show you how much they want the other team to beat the Astros.
Yeah.
And Alex Rodriguez, and who's going to try his hardest to get Carlos out of Houston.
Well, did you see what Cashman said yesterday? Cashman said, yeah, we need a shortstop. Yeah.
Please don't let it.
Yep.
Please, the Yankees. Carlos. I need the Yankees. I need somebody with the Yankees to come out and say something disrespectful.
Oh, my God.
I need Gleyber to come and like say, that guy.
No, we need
don't need
Judge.
Him. FOH, yeah.
Judge.
FOH, that cheater. Like, yes, yeah. Keep saying that.
I need Garrett Cole to come out. I hated that guy when I was in Houston.
I need Jeter to say, personally, if I were the Yankees,
well,
I would
bring him here because they can't stand Cole. No, Cole, you got to have Judge do it, not Cole, because nobody could listen to Cole right now. By the way, it was one of the engines on the plane actually blew and was on fire.
Oh, that's not down scary the at all. That's not scary at all. Hearing an engine caught on fire, yeah. I pray my wife's not in a car right now.
Let's get David in here. Astros superstitions. What up, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning. Talk about Astros superstition. Had to watch the game separate from my wife. She was in the room. I was in the garage. And I had to smoke 3 cigars back to back to back.
Hey, thanks for doing your part, David.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Which cigars were they?
Guess what I'm going to do today.
No, you're going to be smoking cigars, what you're going to be doing.
I'll be smoking cigars while the kids are at school.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
All right, good luck, guys.
Thanks,
David. Boy, you're going to keep your kids at school at 4? Oh, those kids are like, hey, Dad, can I come home? Can I come home, Dad?
I didn't do anything to affect the win other than maybe just not be in this office yesterday. But ultimately, I'm here today, so I didn't think my superstition. It could be the cigar guy, David. It could be the guy that I told you his wife took the shower. I don't think any of the moves are Dusty's or Castro. To me, yeah, you did your job, but I'm trying to figure out what was that actually caused the win. Which superstition?
So, King Chili says, I never heard this one. Less bitching, more kitchen.
You going to use that now?
Hey, woman. I like to call my wife woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. I got that from Berkman. He says it always works when you put "Hey woman" at the end, or start it with "Hey woman."
What are we doing here? Why are you out?
Hey woman.
Hey woman. Yeah, that's gonna work.
that always works. That always works. Framber Valdez. Look at this against Chris Sale. Framber's got to work the plate, man. He's got to pound the strike zone. They gotta stop nibbling, man. You're right. Stromy's got to do his job and tell him just throw the ball over the plate.
If you come out there and say, look, guys, we'd rather get beat by the batted ball than walk batted ball.
Listen, what is the walks? It's a guaranteed guy on first base. When you hit the ball, actually put the ball in play, it's still only about a 30% chance.
What's the best way to look? You're facing the Astros. This is how you have to think of it. If the Astros go in thinking, how would we approach this game? That's what you need to do, because Cora's of the same mindset. He came from there. What you would do if you're the Astros is you want to get up in the count early on so you can control it. So if that's going to be the case, you need to make your first pitch. As long as Framber can locate, he needs to get ahead in the count by throwing first pitch strikes. He does. And if they jump on it and hit it, so be it. But you got to get up in the, because you know they're going to work the count deep on you. And Framber with his nitpicking and missing the strike zone. You know in the first two innings what kind of Framber you got.
Yeah.
The Framber that has that, because the curveball is going to, the stuff's going to be good.
Please get out of the first inning with less than 25 pitches.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. That would, it just never seems to happen.
But throw strikes. It doesn't happen because guys aren't throwing strikes right now.
Let's get Boulder in here. Hey, Boulder.
Yeah, what's up? So last night I'm watching the game on my iPad. The battery's going low as Altuve comes to the plate. My iPad shuts down, and I go to my phone to watch the game and see he hits the home run. I just turn my phone off. So I figure tomorrow or today, I'm not gonna watch it on my phone. I'll watch it on my iPad and then turn it off when the battery dies.
Okay, so you're gonna follow the exact same pattern.
You gotta
see,
do
what
it.
I thought you were gonna say
my wife's
you're only
stay in the kitchen. That's it.
I thought you were gonna say, because they scored one run with you with your iPad.
Right.
They scored, your phone got 8. I don't think you're reading the.
Said he stopped watching on his phone.
Yeah.
He saw that he scored. He saw he hit the home run to tie it, turned off his phone, and walked away. And
oh, wait. He
watching.
Didn't see the home run on his phone?
No.
He but then don't watch the game.
He's going to watch until his
app. No, don't watch the game. You got one run. One run's not
he's
enough.
He's turning his phone off.
No, don't watch. You got one run in 7 innings. That's not good. Your iPad's worth one run. Don't watch it on iPad. Watch it on your phone. This is what you do. Just do the app. Refresh. Right. Refresh.
Are you
refresh.
Following Berman? You got to get this Strami quote. Are you following Berman? Get this Strami quote in here. This is a little concerning. C. Neil LaCroix says, sorry for all involved, but those 18 plane passengers better get their ass back on a plane and crash off the runway.
No, that's not. That's not.
No.
We can't.
We're not
do
putting
that.
Them through that again.
We are not putting C. them Neil. On. Hey, what's that? Nothing, just an engine on fire?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. What would have happened if we were up in the actual air when that happened?
Terribleness.
Just bad things.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen, like, Sully? We would have had to fly upside down and into some water. Wait, we don't have that here.
I guess we'll just fly upside down, then.
713-780-3776. We got Astro superstitions, but we can, I mean, if you had one yesterday, if it worked for you, great. Why did Dell call you trash ass Lance?
I don't know. I don't.
What did you do?
I don't know. He's a Dell's a bad person.
Fever boy.
What does fever boy mean?
Nice to hear fever boy is alive and well.
Why is it like a little kid if you have a fever?
Because nobody
what does that
gets,
mean?
Because
yes,
you
people
don't,
do.
No one gets fevers after they're
that's
7 years
old. That's
why
I thought I had a COVID breakthrough. I'm like, why am I sitting here with 102 fever? Like, oh, no, crap. And I no got tested. And they didn't.
When you come back from kindergarten, you have a fever. Not when you.
No,
not
people
when you're
have
a
fevers.
Grown man.
Yes, you are.
No,
yes, you do.
No one does
you
that.
You can get fevers. Yeah, it's your way. Your body's fighting off sickness.
What
y'all? Y'all don't know this?
What kind of diseases
I don't
do you
know
have
what,
in your
it's
house?
It's not a disease, sickness. Like whatever it was, whatever it is, that's fine.
What kind of malaria is running around your house?
Nothing.
Right now?
No malaria. What do you guys act like? No one's ever been sick before.
No.
Like yesterday, I thought must be COVID. Oh, what do you know? I was just sick. I forgot. You can actually
no, you
be
can't.
Sick.
No, you, can't. No,
you
can't.
Don't have to have COVID every time.
758 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chastain Ford. I wonder where they're. Why were they?
Look at all these superstition calls. I told you, John. You're not. John says he's not superstitious. And then we were at game one of the White Sox, and John's like, "I better go do." You did something. I'm like, "Hey, I thought you weren't superstitious." Like,
I'm not.
I need to not move. We need to not move spaces.
Right, right. Sit here. Sit, don't change seats.
Don't go
right
back.
Now.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you are superstitious.
All right. Got to talk about right now. I want to talk about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I want to tell you right now they've got select F-150s. You got 72 months of interest free payments. You got $1,000 off on, and this is on top of too. You know, you can always say, oh, I give you $1,000 off. No. We're gonna you get. And oh, by the way, the dealership, the Ford is also giving you another $1,000 off on this vehicle. And listen, how about this? They'll come to you. They won't bring the dealership to you, but the salespeople will come to your home, help you pick out whatever it is that you got to do. All right. They will bring the car to you. It is amazing. The service is second to none. No dealership is going to bend over backwards and do the kind of things that Chastain Ford is going to do. And, oh, by the way, no dealership is going to let you do the whole thing online either. If you don't want anybody at your house, that's fine. Here's the deal. You can do it all online. You can't do that at another dealership because they're going to want you in the store so that they can put all the add-ons that they have to put on. They have to jack up the price. $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. I've heard $15,000 they're jacking you up right now. That's not happening at all at Chastain Ford. You're looking for the best deal on that Ford car or truck. You should go see my peeps at Chastain Ford or get to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
ESPN 97.5.